Doc Lisner here on a Tuesday edition of the Debate Amongst Friends with the Professor John Gotti, the King of RNG, the Troll Master, the Data Analyzing Ninja, the Conqueror of his own fate. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Terminator, Professor Omega, the Cleaner. How you doing there, boy?
Docie! Freshly squeezed, the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the reigning, defending, undisputed podcasting champion of the world, the Sultan of Squat, catching reeds with his teeth, Los Tranquilo. Lisner. How you doing, man? It's Tuesday, man.
I'm doing good, man. I was out there, you know, raking up some leaves.
I mean, you wasn't just raking up leaves, Doc. You was also raking up those W's.
I mean, well, to get to that, I think I obviously took a chance on Jacksonville. That's probably it. But I mean, other than that, that was just...
I took the chance on the Giants. Like,
well, that's not really a chance. I guess it could be. It could be. We're going to get there. But yeah, I'm hoping that the raking of the leaves symbolizes raking of the dollars. That's what I'm hoping.
Are you saying you're trying to be a $1 million man?
I mean, yeah. I can't even say no to that. I am actually just a regular.
You know, we're going to make that happen. Scott.
But Johnny, we had games. Let's start with last night's game, which turned out to be immaculate, actually. obviously, everybody wants to talk about obviously the post game press conference, but before we get there, let's talk about how we got to the press conference. It's like, so here we are. How did we get here? Right. And you're going to see this as the thumbnail of today's show, post-conference. Obviously, the Patriots had a plan, and they did not deviate from this plan.
Nope.
Running the ball 46 times. And that's including the kneels, of course. 46 times, bro. Only passing 2 for 3 for Mac Jones, 19 yards. I was pretty sure there was going to be a play action in there somewhere. I'm not sure why they didn't pass. You know, I felt like, you know, after Stevenson and Damian Harris got up, especially after that long sweep, I thought they would have came around with a bootleg or something, but they stuck to the plan. They said, you know what? Just when they think we're going to pass, we're going to run. Just when they think we're going to hand it off, we're going to do a QB sweep. Just when they think we're going to run a power, we're going to run a counter. It was like watching a Madden tournament. It was absolutely bonkers. It was bananas. But Mac Jones, after the game, says, hey, I don't care about my stats. I care about winning. The first couple of minutes of the game, I didn't know what to expect. I know you, Johnny, probably were sitting there like, you know, are we going to get another, you know, Baltimore-Cleveland situation? But ultimately, it was punt for New England, punt for Buffalo, punt for New England, and then Buffalo fumbles, obviously, and that's where we got the 65-yard sweep, followed by a sweep on a 2-point conversion. So not only did Buffalo give up a sweep for the first play of the game, or not the first play, for the first touchdown, but they gave up a sweep on the 2-point conversion. Buffalo then comes back, they punt, and this is where it does that weird thing where it hits the returner's face mask. Buffalo gets the ball back, and Josh Allen throws a pass to Davis for a 14-yard touchdown, and then followed up with a New England field goal. It was like a punt. Buffalo field goal, New England field goal. Then Buffalo misses a chip shot, 42-yard. I guess it wasn't a chip shot. 42-yard field goal was missed. You got a New England punt. Then it was the end. I think I saw on the sideline, Diggs was screaming like, yo, hit me on a post. I'm open. Hit me on a post. And how apropos, they went ahead and threw. He was open on a dig route, which is how apropos there. Stephon Diggs was open on a dig route. But the New England pressure got to him. That was third down. And on fourth down, New England said, you know what? Forget it. You know that blitz on Madden where they send all the players and leave three in coverage? We're going to do that. So they sent the house, and Josh Allen just did not make the right read as Cole Beasley probably walks into the end zone or at least gets a first down, but he tries to force it to Stephon Diggs, and the defender knocks it away. Huge play by Miles Bryant, knocking the ball away, second-year guy. And the Patriots get the win, as well as the number one in the AFC East. It stinks, but that's how the cookie crumbles here. And then, of course, shortly thereafter, you have the post-conference where the news person says, so, guys, they ran the ball a lot on you guys. You guys gave us some big runs. Are you guys embarrassed by your run defense today? And as you see on the screen here, the defender's like, bro, what? He's like, as a defense, we did our job. I mean, and I agree, they did do their job. They held the Patriots to 14 points. And, you know, a defense that holds their team to 14 points, although you gave up a big run, they had one big run. I mean, 3.3 yards per carry for Stevenson isn't great. Obviously, Damian Harris had 11.1 yards per carry because he had the big run. But, I mean, ultimately, the defense of the Bills did their jobs. I don't think they should be penalized or chastised. Honestly, it was a hard-fought game. You know, it's just the Patriots made the necessary plays and the Bills didn't. Ultimately, that was it. But moving on to the other games here, we had the New York Giants losing to the Miami Dolphins. That was, I don't know what to call for the Giants. I know Daniel Jones is out, and they're saying that there's a possibility that we might see Jake Fromm get the axe, get the start over Mike Glennon. Tua, 30 for 41, 244 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, the Dolphins are coming. They're not going down easy. They're definitely still battling. As expected, the Indianapolis Colts handled the Houston Texans mightily and easily. I think that's one of those games that we kind of both expected. The Detroit Lions get their first W. We mentioned it yesterday, giving them a huge shout-out. You know, it was a last-minute score. Honestly, I'm not sure what happened with the Vikings. It looks like they just couldn't win a close game. Kirk Cousins absolutely tearing up the league. Again, 30 for 40, 340 yards, two touchdowns. Alexander Mattison, 22 carries for 90 yards, you know, taking over for Dalvin Cook, who's out on injury. Justin Jefferson, I mean, 11 receptions for 182 yards. It seems like they, you know, had a great game. But Jared Goff said, hey, listen, we're going to keep battling. You know, we want to keep competing. 25 for 41, 296, three touchdowns, one pick. I think they did a pretty good job. Pretty good job indeed. After that, a good game between Arizona and Chicago, obviously. Kyler Murray coming back from injury, you know, kind of toying with them a little bit, danced around, walking into the end zone. The Bears just don't have an answer right now. I'm not 100% sure what their plan is, but I think they had to make something eventually. My major read of the week was the Chargers beating the Bengals. Even though the Bengals made a huge comeback, the Chargers offense just, you know, took over. And the defense stepped up and played very well. The Bucs beat Atlanta. Not the cleanest game, but Tampa Bay came away with 30 points and held Atlanta to 17, shutting them out in the second half. The last touchdown Atlanta got was on a end of the half interception by one of the defensive linemen. I would say the Rams handled Jacksonville. I did call Washington beating the Raiders. I think Taylor Heineke is one to be reckoned with and somebody that people need to start respecting. I don't think the rest of the football team is stepping up. I just think Heineke is managing the game very well, and it's time to monitor and keep an eye out on that. Going back here before we get to those later games, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Jets. This game was closer than the score appears. The Jets were actually battling very hard. I believe this is the first game back for the young quarterback, Zach Wilson. Played pretty good, 23 for 38, which I think is too high. I think for a rookie, they need to bring his passing totals down, those attempts down. 226, two touchdowns, one pick. Elijah Moore continuing his rookie season, six receptions for 77 yards. But the main story here, of course, was Gardner Minshew, 20 for 25, really cooking, 242 yards, two touchdowns. Miles Sanders stepping in, 24, 120 yards, really played really well. And Dallas Goedert, you know, the veteran tight end, six receptions for 105 yards. Obviously, he got the extension for a reason. And the later games, Kansas City handled Denver. Seattle did beat San Francisco. I know we both chose San Francisco. But the game that really surprised me, and I watched it. This is a game I watched in the late games. That's Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. A lot of people saying Big Ben is done. He's calling a career. But he threw some really, really good passes. I just think the Steelers are in need of a potential rebuild, which is not something that we've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a Steelers rebuild. When I look at, you know, the Steelers, I've never seen them this pedestrian. And it could be because they're not. I know they have. It's hard to say. Oh my goodness, I don't know what to say. It's so weird. Like, I know they have Najee Harris, and you know he's still, you know, kind of working it. But when I look at the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's era, this is the first year. 2007. He's been a coach since 2007. 10-6, 12-4, 9-7, 12-4, 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, 11-5, 10-6. You know, 11-5. 13-3, 9-6-1, 8-8, 12-4, 6-5. It's just one of them situations where, yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin, I don't think it's time to move on from him. I think the team is still very well responding well to him. You know, it's not one of those situations. Obviously, he started when he was 35 and really has been pushing for the last 15 years. But it's very unfortunate to see, you know, that decline of Ben that I think a lot of people expected from Tom, which we talked about yesterday. But the Steelers have a chance, of course, to keep competing. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Wanted to go ahead and give a quick shout out to the Houston Rockets again, winners of six in a row. And then next, how apropos they have to carry their winning streak against the Nets, and James Harden you know, coming to town tomorrow at 8 p.m. But six in a row, first team in history to lose 15 games in a row and come back and win six. So shout out to them. Next, we got the power rankings. I'm going quickly here, 1 through 10. I think most of the rankings stayed the same. Number one, Green Bay Packers, obviously staying number one. They had a bye week, so we didn't really get a chance to see them. I don't think they fall bye week. Number two, staying at number two here, we had the Arizona Cardinals again coming back and beating up on the Bears. It's just something that they just needed to do. It was convincing enough for them to stay number two. Number three, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, in my own defense, in my own mind, I didn't think it was a great game. But they came out, handled the Falcons. Chris Godwin absolutely dominated the Falcons, I think racking up 15 receptions. So it was a pretty good win for Tampa Bay. They did get a good defensive sacks. Their pass coverage, obviously, not the best, but the defensive front held their own. Number four, we have the New England Patriots moving up one slot from five. I mean, they're winners of seven in a row. They're number one in the AFC as well as the AFC East. I mean, they look good. It was a hard-fought win. They had a plan, and they stuck to it, like I said. I mean, you can't really fault them for that. But shout-out to the Patriots. Dropping a slot here, we have the Kansas City Chiefs. They are back, I guess. I mean, beating the Broncos doesn't necessarily mean that they're back, so to speak, but they are back to their winning ways, finding ways to win, and that's just something that they're going to do. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that, you know, because a lot of teams are just cooking right now in the AFC. But they're 8-4. They're still in it. I mean, they're still a team that you just don't sleep on. Moving up two slots here to number six, you have the Dallas Cowboys winning, you know, against their last matchup on Thursday against the Saints. Honestly, depending on the next two teams, which I'm sure are teams that there are some teams that fell, I'm not sure if that game was really more of the Cowboys winning it or of the Saints losing it. It was really, really bad. Really, I felt bad for Taysom Hill, honestly. But that's neither here nor there. Number seven, obviously, we have the Buffalo Bills. I can understand them dropping a slot, just one slot. They are coming to play the Bucs next. That'll be a big challenge for them. You know, if the Patriots ran the ball well against them, the Bucs have one of the better offensive lines in the league, which is, you know, we'll see what happens. But Buffalo needs to rebound. This is a good opportunity. They need to rebound. It's the Patriots game. It was just a really, really physical game, and they're going to have to take it out on the Bucs, unfortunately. Number eight, we have the Rams coming back into the top 10 from 11. You know, getting back, you know, into the good graces, obviously getting the win, a clear-cut win over Jacksonville. I don't know if that qualifies, you know, for three slots, but let's see who the other two teams are and who fell out. Number nine, the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they just destroyed the Texans. It just depends on who's falling out, because the Chargers moves up to number 10 from 15. They had a great win against the Bengals. I've said this all season. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert will always be within a very, very close margin wherever they are. Obviously, Chargers 10, Bengals are now number 11. So that makes complete sense. Baltimore Ravens are back out of the top 10 again, dropping from 9 to 12 after that loss to the Steelers. Number 13, you got the Titans. Who, I mean, they're just trying to hang on. They're really, really just trying to hang on and stay active, close to the playoffs. But the Titans, I know the Duke probably watching the Titans and just trying to figure out what they're going to do.
He's not watching the Titans.
I didn't think so.
He's not watching.
But I mean, we had to watch some of the other teams. Obviously, the Dolphins are still rising. The football team's rising. You know, the Steelers still technically alive. But other than that, we had some unfortunate news. Kentucky Derby winning horse Medina Spirit died yesterday at the Santa Anita Racetrack in Southern California. The horse collapsed near the finish line just as he was completing a workout and died immediately, which is very unfortunate. The coach said it was just a routine morning workout, and the probable cause is a cardiac event based on the veterinary team who attended to him. It's very, very unfortunate and very sad that this happened. And, of course, our prayers are definitely with the owners of this horse. Like I said, whenever you lose an animal, whether it's a competing animal or, you know, just your house pet, it's always sad because they are a part of the family. But, Johnny, I know the people heard this podcast on their favorite podcast platform, but if they didn't, they can always go to our website at www.debateamongstfriends.com to review this episode as well as all the previous. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we go over more news, more analysis, and the reads.
I broke my pinky toe.
Yay!